On its way. It's coming. Everyone settle down. It's coming. Oh, just when you thought it was starting.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened? Why were you screaming like that?
Because I saw Minkie Kelly.
Did Anne tell us she tried to book her or something?
No. I mean, that was my actual reaction tonight at the party when I saw Minkie Kelly.
Why is TMZ up there? Is that what that is? Oh, ESPN.
Son of a bitch.
Here we go. Whatever. We're pretty organized here.
Hand me the mouse, please, Anderson. It's right for you. Thank you.
Who does that?
What?
Who comes into a room and moves
everything backwards?
And then just goes...
Whoever does the shows at other times during the day here. Oh, every single day. All right. So, get out of there and go to the usual websites you go to, Mike. What would Tyler Durden do?
They're doing the freak show.
What? Where are you going?
Give you a little refresher course.
I don't make a Kelly.
No, you don't.
No, because I was a fan of Saturday Night Live before any Friday Night Lights before anybody caught onto it. The great show.
Yeah, that walked by me like an inch away from me.
And you didn't say hi.
No, what am I going to say to her? She seemed delightful.
I bet you she is.
Son of a bitch. Why are girls like that, Dr. Drew? Why do girls look like this?
You want to cut her head off?
I'm going to kill her. Nip slip.
I like the way Mike, if he sees somebody he's super attracted to, his initial reaction is, I have to cut her head off. I have to kill her. Oh, my God. Did you read the book, The Fountainhead?
No.
Ayn Rand had some character in there that believed things were too perfect. She had to destroy them because people weren't worthy of it.
It's true.
Yeah. There you go.
I just feel like... like Earth shouldn't exist.
Not unless you can have them.
Yeah. Like why is she here other than to just make us angry?
To torment you.
Oh,
it's hysterical. It's always distracting when they put other people in as somebody you're thinking you're looking at.
Oh, I know.
So we watched another 5 minutes with Mike. You missed it. He was walking around California Adventure this time.
Oh God.
Yes, it was pretty funny.
God damn it.
Made me miss Disneyland. I haven't been there in a while. The kids have been there.
I go pretty often.
Do you?
Nah, not often. Not like King of Mexico or one of these people.
What, he goes all the time?
Yeah.
I used to go with the kids a lot when my kids were kids, little kids. Now they're, you know, going to college.
Does that freak you out?
You know, what freaked me out? No, I'm actually really excited about them.
No, but I meant like freak you out. You're like, my kids are that old.
What freaked me out is, oh, crap, the next time I really am spending time at Disney, it's going to be with their kids.
Yep.
That freaks me out. That freaks me out. Yeah. I almost can't handle that. I hope they wait a few years before they subject me to that, like about 10.
They will.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what freaks me out?
Make a Kelly freak
How many
out.
Loveline callers are going to Disneyland with their kids at the age that your kids are?
Yeah. That doesn't freak me out. That now I'm into the anger zone with that. And our buddy Hal Sparks today was saying that's the southern states. He specifically pointed out the southern states. Did you notice that?
I was shocked by that.
Yeah,
he stood by that.
I don't know it otherwise. I'm not going to assail it unless I knew data. But whatever. I certainly have plenty of that going on in the Midwest and elsewhere.
Let's see. Lady Gaga busted her ass.
What does that mean?
Yeah, by the way, how many of my brethren in Los Angeles have kids at 16, 17?
Yes, right. Whoa. Surprised that kind of thing doesn't happen more often.
She just kept on singing. Good for her.
Yeah. Oh. Flames pop up right where she fell down.
What Dr. Noon and I are describing is Lady Gaga just eating massive amounts of poo on stage. She busted her ass.
And she fell on her butt. Here it is.
Whoa.
Close up. She falls pretty far. Whoa! Hits her head. Good for her for getting up again. Wow. Where was that?
Houston.
Houston, yeah.
No, not Monty Hall. Montreal.
I thought I said Montreal. Monster ball.
Oh, just shut up, Krista.
So tell us about your party. What did Krista do?
She kept going. She's my hero. She wrote it.
Really? It's pretty good. Did you see it? Yeah.
Lady Gaga rips.
Yeah. So tell us what you did today. You went to some cool party.
What did I do today? I was on Dr. Drew Pinsky's show on HLN.
Yep, you did a great job, and I appreciate it immensely. Makes it for much lighter lifting for me.
It was my pleasure. It's a fun show to do. You got a good little system over there.
We do have a pretty good operation, I think. It's startling to me to think we're a week old.
Yep.
And we're kind of operating pretty well. It operates kind of like radio. You know what I mean? Doing a daily TV show that's sort of live or live to tape, that's radio.
Right.
Just with a little more intent and a little more scrutiny. So it feels pretty familiar to me. What do you think of the conversation we had?
I thought it was, you know, interesting.
All right.
I mean, I definitely did. I was really blown away at how cool those the sexless marriage people were.
They were. Did you see the interview
they were,
I did with
they
them?
They were dope. They were really cool.
I mean, you met them?
No. I watched the interview.
You saw the interview. Yeah.
That I went home and watched it. I was like, wow, these people are really interesting and very open.
Yeah. And what was a relief to me is, you know, I have 5 minutes to do an assessment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 3 minutes, really, because I had to interview Brooke Anderson beforehand. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know, it's going to be abuse and neglect and trauma and all this crap. And she starts with that stuff, and I thought, oh, God, what am I going to do? And then it becomes increasingly clear that that's not the problem.
Right.
I was so relieved, so relieved. And I could tell that it was a biological thing, and that has a discrete solution. And but for the grace of God, I could offer them something. But who knew going in? I really didn't know. The producers weren't really clear either. So I was very relieved for that. But then you went to a cool party, right?
I did.
Tell us about that.
Went to a... let's see, hold on. Let me see. I went to a party for Gatorade's new product line.
What is it?
At the SLS Hotel. I had some new G-Series something. But because it's Gatorade and it was a big deal, Gatorade.
Athletes.
There was... the who's who in the mm-hmm. world of sports there,
mm-hmm.
and also some pretty kick-ass, like Ryan Phillippe was there. I saw him. He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
Got to talk to him a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. Lady Gaga was very happy to – Krista was very happy to hear Ben Roethlisberger was there. Ray Lewis was there.
Nice.
Peyton Manning was there.
Wow. Yeah. They shipped everybody in.
Oh, yeah.
These are all the guys who do their commercials for them. Was – what's his name? Justin Timberlake there?
No.
Doesn't he do a commercial for them or something?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I didn't like really walk around.
Yeah, it's mostly I guess athletes that do the commercials with the.
And then then I saw Minka.
And that was it.
And I don't even. Like,
you
I'm
don't remember what
angry.
Happened to that? Yeah, yeah. Then you started thinking about killing people.
Yeah, yeah. It was. Like, I got the same feeling when I sat next to Camilla Bell at the Laker game.
Oh.
Like I was like just so angry. Goddamn! I'm still thinking about Camilla. Camilla Bell's goddamn so goddamn hot.
You're funny.
Mm.
It's awesome. All right. So we're going to have Andrew W.K. in here.
Andrew W.K. is a good man.
He's a good man. He's out here filming his show, Destroy, Build, Destroy. Or Build, no, it's Build, Destroy, Build. Destroy, Build, Destroy. Which is producer and son's favorite show. Right? Isn't your son's favorite show?
Upset.
Yeah.
We are go.
Destroy, Build, Destroy. I got it right. I know. I get it. And he offered to have your son come to the set. Oh, he's going to go insane. He's going to lose it.
For launch.
All right, here we go.
Seconds to go. Give me a 10, 9, 8, 7. Six.
Love Line is meant for an adult audience.
Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Dr. Drew Pinsky,
a guy on a radio station named Psycho Mike.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Love Line with Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, we're not stopping. We're just getting started.
Yeah! It is Love Line, everybody. Thank you for tuning in once again. Believe me, I appreciate it. I'm your host, Psycho Mike Catherwood. But more importantly, to my left here, fumbling with his iPhone, he's an incredibly intellectual man. He's an incredibly beautiful man, muscular and tan, ready for action, pewter frosted, intense, an acute wit, a long, thick penis. He is Dr. Drew Pinsky, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What does that mean to you? It means you can take your petty problems, kick them right in the balls.
Nice.
Yeah. Our guest tonight, one of our favorites around these parts. His debut album, I Get Wet, still ranks in maybe my top 10 of most played in my little collection that I keep.
Wow.
Of all albums. He is the Master of Mayhem on Cartoon Network's wildly popular Destroy, Build, Destroy. He is a motivational speaker. He, as well, is a very handsome man. He is a return guest here to Loveline. We always love having him. His website is andrewwk.com. You know why? Because he's Andrew W.K.
Hey!
Andrew W.K.
Hello.
He's Andrew W.K.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. Great to be back. I was trying to think, is this fifth time, sixth time?
At least, yeah.
Getting up to half a dozen? Well, great to be back, and thank you for that beautiful introduction. I like Dr. Drew's even more. But,
it was nice, huh?
It doesn't quite fit. I'm not as tan.
No, you're not.
I'm not, was it silver-tipped?
No, pewter frosted.
Oh,
silver-tipped. That's all right.
Silver-tipped is nice, though.
But, yeah, it's beautiful, and I'm here quite a long time now. This is really the longest I've lived in L.A. for any extended period of time since I recorded the first album back in 2001. I'm living here to film Destroy, Build, Destroy for a whole month.
Yeah, and you're in the midst of filming season number 3, yeah?
That is correct.
When can we expect it?
Well, I was wondering if I'm allowed to announce it, but I believe the end of May. I think that's okay to say. Beginning of June, end of May, season 3. And it's the most episodes we ever shot, so it's our longest season. We're doing things we never did, bigger destroys. It's just, as always, lots and lots of explosions and young kids.
I get the sense that you really, really enjoy doing that.
It is, and I probably talked about this last time. To me, it's a very pure manifestation of a fantasy. I always have liked explosions. I've always liked screaming and running around, and I've always liked game shows, and that is the central elements here that we've combined. So anytime you're able to make a childhood dream come true, I think it's perhaps the meaning of life to try to follow through on those initial impulses that appeal to you, or at least experiment and see what not every childhood dream that's come true has been as great as I expected, but this one is.
And whenever I think of Andrew W.K. and all his varied talents and interests, I think, God, he's got to be into game shows. I see that's a guy pegged for into game shows.
I just like that.
I think Family Feud, Password.
That actually makes sense because I could see Andrew being like way into wacky trivia. Well, like I could see Andrew having an encyclopedic knowledge of stupid
is
stuff.
Is that true?
I would say no.
So what's your favorite game
show? Things. Well, I always liked Wheel of Fortune. I always liked Double Dare, of course. There was a show called Funhouse. Any show that involved young people getting to do crazy stuff. And I think that's really the brilliance behind Destroy, Build, Destroy. I didn't create the show, so I got to give a tip of the hat to Dan Taberski. It's just that it puts kids in an environment that they never would be in, which is in near proximity to explosions.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's a blast, and you can see clips on YouTube if you just type in Destroy, Build, Destroy. I believe it's on iTunes, but it's on every week on Cartoon Network.
That's right, Cartoon Network. Go to see Destroy, Build, Destroy, and it's hosted by our guest tonight, Mr. Andrew W.K. We're going to talk about his music as well. AndrewWK.com is the official website. We're talking about unfortunate explosions, so I feel like I'd be remiss in my duties if I didn't talk to young Kalb in Missouri.
Hey, it's Caleb.
All right, sorry, we have a blonde working our phone.
That's fine. Hey guys, how are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Okay, I have a question. She's fiance now, and I have tried anal sex probably about 4 times.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, actually.
Oh. Says it all right there.
Well, we have a daughter now, actually. She is.
You had a daughter from the butt?
That's, yeah.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right, no. And that's actually why we started having anal, is because we thought, hey, that's safer that way to not have a kid.
Yes,
and anyway,
it is.
So the question is, 3 out of the 4 times that we've had anal sex, there's ended up, I don't know what I should call it over the radio, but poop on my penis.
What?
And I talked to...
And that's surprising.
Yeah,
to you?
Why would that ever happen?
I know. But, like, you know, I assumed that at first, but then I've talked to friends about it, and every single friend I've talked to about it says that's never happened.
Maybe they haven't done it a lot. I don't see how that can't happen, and whether you can see it or not, it's still there.
Right. The only way it doesn't happen, at least reliable way, is if you do enemas beforehand.
And that's what they would do in the adult movie.
If you do what before?
Enemas.
You put hot water or wine.
Water.
Right.
Tap water enemas.
You can get it in a grocery store, actually.
Fleet's enemas, yeah.
What about coffee?
Coffee enemas, I don't think I'd recommend. But fleets, yeah, or tap water enemas, if that bothers you, Kalb.
Yeah, so is that the problem? Is that you don't like that poop, as you described it, coming back out?
Mm-hmm.
Was it just a little bit, or was there, what was so disturbing about it? What did you expect? You really thought
I didn't expect either way.
Okay.
It doesn't really bother me. I was just more, her and I were kind of like worried about it because we'd talked to friends about it and every single friend we'd had.
But why were you worried? What did you, this is an abnormal function of that part of your body? No.
Well, no.
You expect there'd be like candy up there?
Right.
Money?
No, that'd be nice.
That would be great.
Fruit.
Yeah.
Well, if there's fruit, then you have competition. If there's vegetables or fruit, then she may be, working without you on her own time.
All right. No.
Off we go. Come on now.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
Okay.
Look, you're putting your penis in the butthole. You can't be too upset about the
little Jack Horner sat in the corner.
Yeah, you can't be too upset
eating
about
his curds and whey.
Put in his plus thumb, pulled out a plum.
So that's what that's really
fecal
about.
Damage.
Hey,
Jen.
Catherwood, what is that T-shirt you're looking at?
Someone just sent me a link to it.
What is it?
It says I heart Mike Catherwood.
Whoa.
Oh wow.
Tourette's Drew. Tourette's Drew, T-shirt?
I'm just saying you can describe what you're looking at.
Why should I?
Because it's interesting.
No!
Yes, it was.
Our radio audience does not have access to my computer screen.
Your guys' dynamic has really devolved.
How dare you?
I think,
how
since
dare,
last time
have,
I was here.
Will you yell at him, please? Yell at him.
No, I can't handle it. I can't.
Why would I yell at Andrew?
Yes.
He's done nothing.
Just to show him. Just
no,
give
this
a good
is
taste.
Clearly
I like
between
Andrew.
You guys. It's more like a brother dynamic than there was last time. Before that, it was more like father son with Mike as the father.
Strangely,
which I thought was so odd.
That's weird.
I know, but that's in the gay community, Andrew. It's strange how we reverse roles. Yeah,
right.
Dr.
Strict
Drew's
dad.
My immature bear, and then sometimes I take on the doting father. Jen.
Bring it, Rudy. No Topher. What sunscreen?
Jen.
Too many toothpicks.
Jen.
Jen, are you asleep?
Finish your milkshake and let's go.
Jen.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, wait, are you sleeping?
No.
Well, then why didn't you say hello?
I couldn't hear you. Half.
Oh, yeah, because I wasn't screaming loud enough. I feel like Morton Downey Jr.
She probably turned the radio down when you were screaming before.
Hmm?
What's
all right,
up?
Go. What?
Hello?
Yeah, speak, Jen.
Okay.
No.
Really?
Yeah, speak up. Go.
Okay. So I want to talk to you because, my problem is I've been dating older guys.
How much older?
I'm 18. Well, I'm 18, and my last boyfriend was 25.
25?
It's a little problematic.
Yeah.
Did they treat you poorly?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
And I've been going back to the same guys. I've been off and on with, three guys.
Mm.
All ages from, 26 to, 23.
Okay, so...
Where do you meet them? I've always wondered about that. Where do these guys go to meet a girl that's 18? Where did you find them? Was it all different places?
Yeah, I used to work at a store. And I used to work at... Well, I don't want to say it because I don't want people to know. I used to work at a store, and I used to meet a lot of people who came in, and so I met one there, and then my other job, I met a lot of guys there, and then also, when I'm just, out with friends on the weekend, I met this one guy, Dan, and I feel like he treats me like...
Whoa! All right, the big S-bomb, thank you.
Did you ever have a boyfriend that wasn't that much older? A boyfriend that age? She's gone?
Yep,
oh,
sorry.
So one strike, you're out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With certain things.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Well, wait.
Let's get it together.
Can we say what that's all about?
No.
Okay.
Because we can't talk to her. Because Mike hung up on her.
Well, I'm done with her.
Daniel.
It was too much of a fiasco to get her on the phone, and then finally we did. She swears.
I was 5 seconds away from Rudy ruling her, and I feel like I should have.
Daniel.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
You're on with Andrew WK.
Yeah, you guys are great. First of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
This is the first time I've called, obviously, but I have this question. It seems like every time that I masturbate, at first I thought it was kind of in my head, but I've noticed other people say, yeah, but it kind of looks swollen. Or if I have sex with my girl, I swell up, my face swells up. And it's enough to where it's significant enough to where it bothers me, where I don't even literally
tell.
Yeah, I thought that's what that was.
What the F?
Yeah, so we can still talk to him, right?
I guess.
No, why don't you just address the issue?
I don't know what that is. I'd have to hear a little more about it as the problem.
His face swells up.
It's very different.
Is he still there?
Yeah, there's something called angioedema or angioneurotic edema. Does your face like swell up around your lips, Daniel?
No, it's not my lips. It's like, okay, like I worked out a lot and stuff. Like, my face is kind of, you know, like thin, man. But it's like literally around my eyes, my cheeks, so like swell up.
Do you incorporate shellfish into your lovemaking?
And that's exactly what it is. No, that's not it. But my mother has lupus, and she has like a condition where she, like, she swells up and stuff. And I was
who's this? Who has this?
It could have anything to do with that, but I doubt it.
Wait,
I
mean, who has? Whoa! Right. What kind of condition does your mother have?
She has lupus. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, this is not related to lupus. This is not lupus. This is something.
So you've never, in any other state of exertion, your face has never swelled up before?
It doesn't happen. Like, I mean, like, maybe if I'm lifting weights or something, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm really, like, a lot of blood pressure's going around. But I mean, you just see what I'm saying? It just, it's ridiculous. And I just, it's getting to the point where, like I said, with my girl.
I have to see this to understand what this is. So I'm sorry. I just have not seen it. So. And if everyone dropped
an S bomb.
Yeah. A puffy face.
Son of a bitch. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. AndrewWK.com is the official website of our very talented and likable guest. He is Mr. Andrew WK, host of Destroy, Build, Destroy, Cartoon Network every single week. Go to the
Nice. Oh. That was awesome.
I just joked, Dr. Drew.
On your spit.
Yep.
Well done.
I mean, let's. Okay, yeah, it was fit. Yeah, let's go with that.
Call what it is.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. You want to talk to Andrew WK, Dr. Drew and I, give us a call. It's Loveline.
More Loveline on the way. 1-800-LOVE-191. One call, that's all.
Yeah.
Intense, yes.
When I listen to Rihanna, The only thing that comes into my mind is Andrew WK.
Wait, what?
WK. Oh, yeah.
Wait, I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess that's good.
No, it's good.
Okay, because you hear her a lot.
Yeah.
That's the thing. She's on the air a lot, though. So, wow. What other things make you think about me? The funny thing, when you see me, you think about Rihanna. Is that correct?
Okay. It's true. I that is odd.
It's more complex.
When I see a crisp white T-shirt, I often think to myself, Andrew WK.
Okay.
When I see a bloodied nose, Dr. Drew, I think to myself, Andrew WK.
Well,
when
I
see a young child take a science project out into the middle of a park and explode it, I think to myself, Andrew WK.
Strange you would say that because he's out here filming another season.
That is correct.
Destroy, Build, Destroy. That's right.
That is right. And there's a lot of explosions, and we are out in a big field. And fortunately, all the blood has been within people's noses.
And have you taken it to a new level this year? We're using Sherman tanks and things?
We did use a tank on the first season. We don't like to repeat ourselves
rocket
too
launchers.
Much. Well, I'm not going to give away too much, but a very, very illustrious skateboarder was our special guest.
Tony Hawk.
And a fantastic BMX biker. And they compete with our teammates. And again, these young kids, age, I don't know, 8 to 11, 12, 13, they're fans of these guys to begin with. So just to come on the show, amped up.
Deal.
But then this is their team leader. And they're competing in crazy stunts. They're blowing stuff up. They're rebuilding. And then they have to let it all go at the end of the show when we destroy it in one last fireball. And I will say that the fireballs this season are higher and more mushroom cloud shaped than ever before.
Whoa.
With a smoke ring at the top and everything.
Whoa.
That's right. It's on Cartoon Network. Cartoon Network, it is Destroy, Build, Destroy. Our guest is Andrew WK from that show. AndrewWK.com is the official website. Kevin, hello. Kevin?
I don't hear anything, Anderson. Wait.
Hello?
There
yes,
we are.
Yes, there we are. Hello.
Hey, sorry about that.
No problem, brother.
Hey, huge fans of all you guys. I have a question. So I've been dating this girl for about a year and 5 months, and we got really serious, and we were talking about getting married and everything, but I have an addiction to pain meds, and we broke up, and she wants to get back together, and we're still talking about getting back together, but, you know, I don't know if I should allow it. You know, I feel like, you know, I don't want to put her through that worry and everything. I just feel like, you know, I should just, you know.
Huh. You broke up because of your addiction?
It was causing problems, and I could tell she was worrying about it.
Did she know you were addicted?
Yeah, I told her, like, 3 months into the relationship.
What do you plan to do, Kevin, with the addiction?
I've looked up Sunrise Recovery Ranch in Riverside, and I'm going, but...
You've been going, or you're planning to go?
I'm going very soon.
I don't think you should start anything new till you get in the program and focus on that. Just kind of leave everything status quo. Tell her, you know, I'm not making any big decisions right now. I just got to take care of this illness.
It's true, because then you just add more potential stress that would make you more susceptible.
And more reasons to take your focus off your sobriety, which is going to take every ounce of energy you've got.
Can I ask just a question? I'm curious, curiosity about pill addiction. Do you feel a high like you did when you first started, or are you just trying to maintain a very low level, avoid discomfort at this point?
I'm pretty much just taking it so I don't get withdrawals anymore.
Wow.
But,
okay.
But Andrew, the pernicious part of this thing is that even when he's done with withdrawal, he still goes back, right? No matter what, he will go back.
What do you mean? Unless you break the addiction.
Once you detox, every opiate addict has a fantasy, well, that's all I got to do is get off this stuff, I'll be fine.
Oh, so then...
They always go back. Yeah.
So then
always.
You can feel that high again?
It's a distortion of the brain's motivational systems. The brain confuses the chronic effects of the opiates with survival itself.
All right, right.
So when the opiates aren't there, it feels like it's dying. It feels desperate. It feels miserable all the time. And so every thought, every feeling, every motivational...
connects back to that.
Goes back to using. So even though it may not be conscious, there may not be cravings, there may not be maybe desire, not even a desire to use, but magically there'll be a desire to go visit... some guy where you
so
used to get the
deep.
Drugs or use the drugs.
It's so deep within you that the very framework of
all
your perception.
Of the basic motivational systems, yes.
And does that mean that heroin, certain drugs have this effect?
They all addictions do, but opiates really do.
Okay, like heroin.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
So there you go, Kevin. Go get sober, stay with it,
yeah,
focus
just clean
on
up.
It. Good luck.
Because it's not fun.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
I appreciate that.
All right,
thanks.
Good luck.
Bye.
Take it easy, brother.
Opiates are rough. Opiates have the highest recidivism.
But that's a great headspace that there's only so much the brain can focus on at once, and it's a huge project.
That's correct. And Mike will tell you, you're very fragile that first year. But more importantly, you've got to understand that everything in your brain that normally you rely on, like your judgment and your will and your rational systems and your everything, now serves the addiction.
Wow.
At all times.
And is that something that builds over time?
It
or
gets
is
worse.
It
gets worse.
Yeah.
But opiates, when you're strung out on opiates, you're there.
Yeah, that's the thing about I mean, there is, and I don't recommend it, but there is a chance in hell that you can white-knuckle your way through...
Withdrawal?
Other drugs.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't doing that
with
opiates.
Opiates.
I mean,
no.
It's just not happening.
Yeah. Well,
that's what it seems to the case.
Yeah.
It seems to
that
be.
That is the truth.
Everything I've seen, it's just, it's the worst.
Hey, Anna.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a kind of a weird question.
Okay.
A couple years ago when my boyfriend at the time, now husband, and I were in Waikiki, we went to a sex shop, and we purchased a vibrator. And it had a warning. It just had normal packaging, but then it had a sticker on the very end, like where you would take it off to put the battery in, that said, discontinue use if calf pain persists.
Calf pain?
Yes, like as in your calves.
Your calves?
And that was really weird.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, I actually ended up having, not while I was using it, but like maybe a day after, crazy, crazy calf pain, which ended up being a blood clot. And I've always wondered if...
Blue clot!
No, I wonder if somehow... what is this thing, a gigantic vibrator or something? I mean, is it occluding your femoral veins? You know what I'm saying? Is it diminishing blood supply back to your heart?
Or the weight of lifting is straining your calves.
Yeah. Listen, the pain in your calf is from the clot, the deep venous thrombosis,
blue clot.
It's called. And those are very dangerous. They can migrate to your lungs and kill you. And I don't think the Viagra had anything to do with the blood clot. Let's put it this way. When I train medical students and residents about how to treat blood clots, in the differential diagnosis of causation, we are not discussing vibrators. Okay? All right.
And then I also want to tell like
Jamaican Henry.
Oh, yeah! Oh, blood clot! Yeah! Sugar to dread.
I have a chihuahua that is also a catcher, but not... Yeah, but not of a little bit more G-rated than yours. But whenever we camp a lot, and you know when you're out in the woods camping, you have to go to the bathroom in the woods, and we have to like put the chihuahua in the truck or put it somewhere where it won't follow my husband so that it can try to catch its pee.
Pee. You know, somehow I think when Psycho Mike talks about what his dog does, I just imagine that people aren't listening to it, but accidentally somebody's heard you.
Well, I listened to the pre-show. I don't know if it was.
Maybe that's worse.
I have a dog that likes jizz.
Oh my gosh!
And yeah. I really enjoy the pre-show. I think it's.
But I will say, Anna, it's the one dog I have that isn't a Chihuahua. It's the little terrier.
Really?
It's the junkyard terrier.
Wow. Oh, okay, interesting. Well, actually, my Chihuahua is not purebred. It's a mix. It's a terrier.
Nice.
Chihuahua.
That's what I'm telling you. It's the terrier blood. Terriers love jizz.
Anna doesn't love her dog. I can tell she doesn't love her dog.
Other animals don't do that. What is it with dogs and these specific things? Eating crap, eating puke, eating jizz, eating garbage.
The birds will do that, too.
But they also hunt. They're supposed to... Birds, I guess, they're desperate, like a pigeon.
Yeah.
But you don't... I don't think that other animals do that. To them, it seems like a delicacy. And there's always that idea I thought was so funny. You could feed a dog once. And then it could just recycle and eat in a continuous cycle out of itself. It's like whenever it's hungry.
My dogs do not eat their poo. Just for the record.
I agree. Mine don't eat. Mine do not eat their own poo. They do not even vomit, but they do eat mushrooms.
Vomit, they might get a little bit.
Drew, you're on with Andrew W.
Wait, no, Andrew, you're talking about that. Are you familiar with the movie Human Centipede?
No.
Oh, what?
Mike, let him know.
What?
What?
Because it was kind of like a genius doctor trying to figure out
a way to
feed a human only one meal at a time. Because you see, he sewed three humans together.
This is a real
movie.
It's a documentary.
No. That would be awesome.
It's a film.
Well, that sounds right up my alley.
You would love it. It's actually pretty well made.
Ass to mouth.
Drew. Ooh. Not Dr. Drew. Drew in Arizona.
Hello.
Hey. Drew in Arizona.
He ran to the video store to rent Human Centipede.
Yeah, everyone's put down the phone at this point. Traffic accidents.
Jesse, you have a question for our guest, Mr. Andrew W.K.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello. Jesse.
Hold on. Hello?
Yes.
Andrew,
Whoa. Hold on, Jesse. Slow your roll. How old are you?
9.
You're a big Andrew W.K. fan?
Sort of.
you like Destroy, Build, Destroy, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching the show. What do you want to ask?
So what's up, dude?
What's up?
I want to know, why do you wear so much white?
That's a very good question, and for anybody who's not aware, I've for years worn white jeans and just a regular white t-shirt, and then usually some kind of sports shoe or basketball shoe, and the main reason is I play rock and roll music and I perform on stage, and you've probably noticed that most stages are very dark. Well, of course, they're lit up with lights, but the background and every part of the room is usually blacked out so that things stand out on the stage. Well, I wanted to really stand out, so I figured if I wore white clothes, I would never fade into the background. It was simple as that. But I never really thought about how on a show like Destroy, Build, Destroy, where we're out in the middle of nowhere in the wild with dirt and explosions flying around, I get pretty filthy. And lo and behold, by the end of the day, when we're done filming, I am not wearing white anymore. I'm wearing sort of an off beige brown with black soot and stains of food.
But you've earned it.
That's true. I've earned it the hard way, getting down and dirty. Yeah.
Hey, Jesse, where are you from?
From Colorado.
Cool.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. And Destroy, Build, Destroy, always.
I want to make a mental note here. See how responsive Jesse is?
Take it easy, Jesse.
9 years old, he's twice as responsive.
Very quick. Dialed in.
Callers.
Yeah. Didn't cuss either.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sweet.
He knows where he is.
Good attitude.
1-800.
What's he doing listening to the show, though?
Yeah, somebody just
dialed someone helped him.
Well, someone helped him. You heard that.
Yeah. It was an older sibling.
Hold on. Hold on. 1-800-LOVE-191. The very gracious young man you just heard talking was not just Jesse. It was Andrew W.K. as well. He is the host of Destroy, Build, Destroy on Cartoon Network. Go to Andrew W.K. to find out about programming tips. Set your TiVo up. Make sure you don't miss one G-damn episode. They're filming Season 3 right now, and you can expect it a little bit later. I don't want to get into details because Andrew's not sure if he should be talking about when exactly it's coming back, but it's coming back pretty soon. Destroy Bill, Destroy on Cartoon Network. Again, Andrew WK in the Trojan Studios with Dr. Drew and I. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Subline.
Jesse J, who you are. On sale April 12th at Best Buy for $7.99.
Stay tuned for more Loveline with Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike.
Who are you calling a psycho?
Joining us, Dr. Drew.
Can you play some Loveline?
Andrew WK.
Yeah.
He's in the house tonight. He's in the Trojan Studios with Dr. Drew and I. AndrewWK.com, the official website. Find out about his music, when he may be performing. Also, Destroy, Build, Destroy on Cartoon Network, coming back for its third season very soon.
Let's see. Psycho Mike, what is your Twitter? I couldn't find it.
It is at M. Catherwood, which is my last name.
Okay, well, maybe I did find it, because I think I must have followed you from last time.
Let me see here.
Now, was that mean Psycho Mike was taken?
Yeah,
there is a Psycho Mike.
Some dude has Psycho Mike. In fact, a lot of dudes have Psycho Mikes in various spellings,
right,
and they won't give them up.
And you couldn't appeal to Twitter to say, well, what if someone
I don't feel like I'm cool enough. And one of the dudes is like an up-and-coming wrestler.
Okay,
so I feel like he's cool. I'm cool with
Well, plus, he might come in here and body slam me.
But I also feel like if you were like the Psycho Mike of insurance.
Yeah.
I'd be like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
But this guy, like, he's trying to build a career. Like, that's his wrestling name. I'm like, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
But the other dudes, they're just jerks.
Well, M. Catherwood, you've heard it here. And mine's Andrew W.K. I love
right.
Twitter. And you're Dr. Drew. You got the easy one. No underscore, which I think is important.
At Andrew W.K.
That's right.
Hello.
Hello.
See,
it's so much easier. It's so much easier to
right
type it
in front of you, of you, and I could just talk to you, but
this
nobody
would prefer text.
See that?
Let's be clear here. This is the guy who was screaming at me 10 minutes ago about referencing something interesting on the screen,
see,
which was a T-shirt with his name on it. Anderson,
oh no!
Anderson,
back me up on this. Don't you think?
No!
Don't you think, Anderson, that it is somewhat interesting because a lot of the people who are listening to the show follow both Andrew and I, or one of the two,
and they actually to hear you tweet.
They'll hear me tweet it, and then
Why?
They'll see it. They'll see it come right on their screen.
It's true, because how many people actually get to see someone tweet? Sure, you read the tweet, but you never get to see them actually write it.
People that work at offices every day see people doing tweet-like functions.
Hey,
while we're at it, Tyler makes a good point. At Loveline.
Oh, yes.
Tweet
oh, yeah.
at Loveline.
Of course.
Yeah. And by the way, tell Gaga we need some stinky pinkies. We do.
Gaga?
Gaga.
Yeah, she's
I want to play this game.
Yeah, Andrew would be awesome
stinky
at
pinkies.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea how well I'm going to do at this, but I would like a try at it, and I like the concept. I think my sisters used to play this. And just the name always freaked me out a bit.
Yeah.
And it still does. It's not a pleasant...
It shocked Anderson when he first heard about the game. He thought it was something
like,
much
you
worse.
You son of a bitch. You filthy... The show's dark enough as it is. We don't need filthy, stinky pink.
Kathy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My sister was curious. Is it possible to get a ingrown hair on the lips of the vagina?
Yeah,
where
sure.
There's hair.
But it's more likely to be like a Bartholin's gland, infected Bartholin's gland, something like that. She has no business making a diagnosis on herself.
She does need to go to the doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
What else could it be?
It's an infected gland.
Could it be herpes?
But infected glands get pretty nasty sometimes.
Oh, okay. She doesn't have insurance, so that's why she has to
Planned call. Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood?
And by the way, let me make a little political side. I'm not one for taking political stands, but... Planned Parenthood is a pretty important part of the healthcare delivery system. Our system is not good such as it is, and this has filled a nice void for young women and young men.
Awesome.
I know. Forget the abortion piece, which, by the way, many Planned Parenthoods don't offer.
Sure,
they're all individually run, and they're in the individual organizations. They do take federal funds. Can we please at least divorce the abortion issue from whether or not Planned Parenthood gets some sort of funds to help young people.
I went there to get condoms.
I find them very awesome. I think they help women out a ton.
Oh, I know they do, and it's something, and they've been branded with the abortion thing. Even though
very nice atmosphere.
And then most of them, I don't think any of them actually themselves actually offer abortion. They sort of offer alternative
services.
Referrals and services.
Yeah, they do. They never, ever, none of the ones I've gone to have ever offered.
Yeah,
it's like that.
Right. I know. It's just awful.
What's so bad about the idea of Planning Parenthood anyway? That of course, I understand it's just their name, and maybe that when we get into the abortion issue.
I think the name maybe throws it off, but I think it's a very awesome place. It gives women free health care. You know, you don't have to worry and no stress.
Well, it's also, it's designed for the adolescent. You know, make this comfortable environment for you guys.
That's where I went in junior high and high school.
Where?
To Planned Parenthood.
With
Ann Arbor.
City.
Ann Arbor, Michigan. They had a Planned Parenthood very mellow. I was still nervous going in just to grab free condoms, but no one even said anything. They never asked me. They came up.
They wanted you to take the condoms.
They were just very cool.
Plan B. You can go get the Plan B there. All you have to do is sit there for a few hours, but you know,
I want an apology from all the people that for years were attacking me for insisting that Plan B worked as an abortion pill. It does not.
No.
There is an abortion pill. I don't talk about that. I talk about Plan B, which is also called emergency contraceptive. It prevents ovulation.
See, so the pregnancy hasn't occurred yet.
Right. Thank you.
That's the collective world apologizing.
And it's everyone.
I'm feeling better.
It's everyone
better.
On earth right now.
Every voice.
Megan? Megan?
That's a little girl voice.
Hey, sorry.
What's up, baby?
So I've been with my boyfriend for a couple of years now. He's a Marine, and he recently got back from a deployment that I guess was pretty rough. And he's never been violent with me before, but he got really drunk. I think it was he'd only been back for about a week and a half, and he got really drunk. And he came home, and he slipped out, and he threw me across the room. Like, he's really strong, and I hit the wall pretty hard. And, like, I know that, like, when your boyfriend hits you or whatever, you have to leave, and it's a deal breaker. And like, I know all these things. And so, you know, I don't know. And so I told him I was going to leave unless he went to counseling. And I know that I should just, but I love him so much, and I feel like it might have been the deployment. So he went to counseling, and they said, like, he couldn't tell his counselor, like, exactly what happened, because his counselor has to report any incidences of domestic abuse. So he kind of just sort of, like, glossed over it with his counselor, and they said he didn't have post-traumatic stress disorder, and, like, I'm not getting past it, you know? Like, I want to forgive him, and I want to move on. But I'm just not able to do that, and
good.
I feel like, am I retarded?
No, you're good. I definitely think he's been through a specific and unique circumstance that I can understand where he might have trouble dealing with what he's seen and been through. But you are in no way obligated to forgive someone who was violent with you by any means.
I like the way you approached it, which was, okay, maybe it's PTSD. Let's have him evaluated. Maybe this is a symptom of something else. Nonetheless, it's not okay. I don't, given that he's now... has no specific therapeutic plan, does not have PTSD, and did not self-report the domestic abuse. I think you have to report it so the proper interventions can be made.
And if she wants him to be helped, it's not going to help as
by hiding it.
And it won't be as inspiring if you do leave.
And you're both going to lose if you leave.
If you don't leave, you mean?
Well, if there's a potential to get him better, is what I'm saying.
Oh, right.
This poor guy was deployed, and let's just give him the benefit of the doubt for a second and say maybe it is some effect of the deployment. But you can't really be safe until somebody intervenes, Megan.
You know, when you say intervenes, like somebody has to know about what he actually did.
I don't see there's any other. I don't know. I just don't see there's any other way. I don't know for sure. I think you got to look into it. But
you can tell Megan though that it feels a bit funny to lie about it and to hold it.
Well, you're going to leave. You're going to leave if you don't have him treated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is appropriate.
He's been going to counseling for a while now, which is good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see if they don't know what happened. I don't see how they can really fully assess it. I just don't and get the proper interventions going.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, and maybe it was just that he was drunk, or maybe, you know, who knows? But they have to be able to assess it.
You have to deal with it.
All right, man. Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's intense. Have you ever had a friend that went in the Marines that was deployed or went overseas or anything?
Sure.
I got tons.
Yeah.
And the thing I was telling Dr. Drew, the thing that shocks me whenever they come back to California and I talk to them, is that they all describe just how hellish Afghanistan or Iraq is, and they always finish it with, can't wait to get back.
All
of them, university, and I just don't know why. I just can't wait to get back there.
You get hooked on the adrenaline.
They're bonded to the trauma. They're bonded to the intensity.
The feeling of camaraderie is very powerful.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call us up in the Trojan Studios. Andrew WK is our guest. AndrewWK.com, the official website. Find out about all the things going on in his world, including Destroy, Build, Destroy, which is going to come back for its third season. The wildly popular show on Cartoon Network. You know what you're listening to, everybody. It is Loveline. Loveline brought to you in part by TurboTax. TurboTax guides you through your taxes step by step to get you the maximum refund you deserve. TurboTax, choose easy.
Joining us here in Los Angeles, Dr. Drew Pinsky, the host.
This may shock you.
Loveline with Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike.
Don't you think that's a little psycho?
Come on now.
Bring it
back now.
Andrew WK singing on this track with me. Andrew WK in the house tonight. AndrewWK.com, the official website. Let's see here. We've been trying to talk to Adrian for a while, but haven't had any success. Adrian, you there?
Yeah, how's it going?
What's up? Yo,
yo. Dr. Drew, I'm a huge fan. I think I've been watching you since Loveline first came out when I was like 11. My question is, so I hear you, Dr. Drew, talk about the 80% of females who can't orgasm or climax from sexual intercourse.
60%.
50%. Okay. Yeah. Had my stats a little wrong. So I'm one of that lucky majority, or that lucky percentage. And I was just curious to know, I've heard you mention a couple times recently, especially when I was listening, when you said that you're talking to younger females and you're like, oh, you may not be able to climax now, but later in life, it's a, I don't know, I think you alluded to the fact that they may be able to climax from intercourse. And I was curious.
No, you got it all screwed up. You got it all completely screwed up. All right, so here it is. Most women orgasm only with some form of direct stimulation, like oral sex or a vibrator or something. They don't orgasm through intercourse, ever.
Right.
Ever. Of the 40 or so percent that do, about 30% can go either way, and it can sometimes with stimulation, sometimes with intercourse. And then there's about 5% or so that has multiple orgasms only with intercourse and doesn't like oral sex at all. And the girls that are going to be the ones that don't have orgasm with intercourse, oftentimes they don't like masturbating, it doesn't feel right, and they don't begin having orgasms until they're in their early 20s. Oftentimes.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay? Where are you?
Yeah.
I'm in the majority that I can't climax from intercourse, but direct stimulation, yeah.
All right, there you go. And makes you normal.
That was my, oh, yeah. the second part of my question in regards to that would be, what if there's any biological correlation between the fact that I have an extremely high sex drive for intercourse, and like it's great and all that fun stuff, and I mean I feel like I've been fulfilled, no pun intended.
Yeah, that Adrian is something more akin to a phenomenon we call receptivity, and that's estrogen mediated, and it's the feeling of being receptive and being satisfied by a receptive experience.
Okay.
And what's that coming from, the desire to bear children more
no,
than...
No, it's just estrogen mediated. Testosterone is the drive to orgasm.
Okay.
And, you know, women have both estrogen and testosterone and progesterone, obviously, but they, some women have are more estrogen dominated in terms of their sexual experience.
Do men ever get that?
The pill, true.
What's that?
That could be caused by the pill, correct?
Not really. It's because your recepting your receiving system has to be sort of geared up. It's more complicated than just how much is circulating in your body.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, honey.
To
right.
Give and receive. Let's
see. Thanks.
Bye,
Chris.
Bye.
Chris, you're on with Andrew WK, my friend.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call.
What up?
Hello.
I called probably like 3 or 4 months ago. I'm a college student here in Arizona, and I called because originally because I wasn't sure if I was an alcoholic or not.
I kind of remember him.
Berbiglia.
Mike
Berbiglia, if you're listening, there you go.
Yeah.
Another repeat call.
No callbacks, he said last night.
What's
yeah,
up,
but I remember you weren't really keen on stopping, so.
I wasn't sure whether or not.
You were not sure.
You were
not sure, though, Chris, but if I do recall, and I think I do, you were pretty receptive,
yeah.
though, you know,
absolutely.
Like to my stern words.
He was receiving.
He was estrogenized.
A lot of estrogen, okay.
A lot of estrogen, yeah. But long story short, I've been sober now for, I think, just about 5 months.
Nice.
Well done.
Nice. Maybe it's because I can't remember what it's like, but...
Chris, we're going to give you... I know we're in the same zone we were in with you last time, which is normal people don't have to think like this and make deals and obsess about it. It's what makes you an addict, that you're tied up like this. Normal people either put things down or pick things up. They don't have to they don't have a
like if my
motivation.
sister went 5 months without drinking any alcohol, like she wouldn't even realize she went 5 months without drinking
right.
You know what I'm saying, Chris?
It's like you wouldn't be thinking like, well, I don't know. I've gone 5 months now. Am I an addict? Am I not? I don't know. Is that 5 months? No. That's addict stuff. Deal making, thinking, you know, obsessing. That's all addict stuff.
Damn.
All right, dude. I mean, and you know, you're young, man, and you could still have a lot of fun. One thing for sure, whether this goes out to you or not, whether you take this into account for yourself or not, this needs to be said. There is, especially with very young people in their teens, there is this idea that in order to be cool or to have fun in life, you have to drink and use drugs. And let me tell you, as someone who hangs out with lots of very, very cool people, I'm very blessed to see the curtain pull back on massive rock stars, actors, comedians, a lot of people you look up to, young kids, most of them don't use drugs or alcohol, at least not to a large extent. You know what I'm saying? And it's just you don't have to do that in order to be a cool, kick-ass guy.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with life in general. It's
and
just
when did the word party become synonymous with using? When did that happen? I thought party was
a
celebration.
Because I did too. I did too.
Party became commensurate with
well, especially cocaine.
Using.
With cocaine.
Are we going to party? Are you going to party tonight?
But it was cocaine. 70s.
Alcohol, really? Alcohol. 70s.
Really?
I think 70s.
It really did 70s. It's been 70s. A long time, but it's so ridiculous.
I got the vibe because when I put out my first song, Party Hard, I had a bloody nose on my album cover. I had never, ever. Ever imagined anyone would relate any of that to cocaine use, let alone any kind of debaucherous anything. I just thought it's celebration. This is what we're talking about, celebrating. A 4-year-old can have a birthday party. Your 90-year-old grandmother can have a bridge party. We're talking about celebration. But there is this idea where, like, hey, man, do you party?
Yeah.
And then it's not like you want to go have fun.
And let me tell you, when I was in the 70s, a party began to be synonymous with a gathering that was included music and alcohol.
Okay.
It didn't mean you got loaded or it wasn't, you know, do you...
It was still an event.
I'm going to party. Yeah. I'm going to party didn't mean I'm going to use. It meant I was going to go to this place where there was alcohol served and people drank.
It is interesting.
For me, the anal. That's, I mean,
it's
when
anal?
I say party,
it's a party.
You done a party?
Yeah, yeah. I noticed you refer to those girls
hey,
that
it's whatever
women.
You like to do. That's the beauty of it. That's what partying is to me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I guess it's just, you know, it's like Aloha, Dr. Drew. You, it has many meanings.
Quick call on 4 before we take a break. I can get rid of that quick.
Bobby.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, Jesus H. Christ. I got to take my headphones off. I can see what your call's about.
Uh-oh,
go ahead, Dr.
Go. Michael can't tolerate this.
Oh, no.
All right.
Go.
All right. So, usually when I get, like, a hard-on and stuff, which kind of creeps my girlfriend out,
I can pop my penis.
It creeps your girlfriend out when you get a hard on?
Wait, he can.
No, I can pop my penis.
Pop.
When you crack your knuckle?
Yeah. 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 That's a very common thing, Bobby. It's there's a suspensory ligament there, and it can collect inflammatory air pockets just like your knuckles can.
Oh,
and some guys, when they push down on it, crack, snap it.
Yeah.
That's a great trick.
And yeah, not everyone can do it, and it's a great trick. Congratulations.
It's not going to hurt me in the long. It's not silly, but am I gonna get like some sort of like I guess you got like an arthritis? I mean, I know.
No, because there's no joint there. There's no joint.
There's no bone in there? I always thought there was like a ham bone.
Is he gonna get arthritic?
Arthritic. Yes, you might get arthritic.
Well done. That was a good. That was a good pun.
Thanks.
That's good wordplay.
And on that note,
no, we gotta take a break.
Damn.
Then the
when
awesome
we get back
train.
From this
then the awesome
break,
train.
Not only is Andrew WK here, which is already awesome enough, believe me, AndrewWK.com. But we're gonna take a real quick 30-second break for station identification, and the awesome train's gonna come through. Yeah.
Uh oh.
Oh yeah, there's the awesome train. Dang. It's time to play chicken game. It's a workout chicken game. Star.
Sweat. Sweat.
Sure. Let's do it.
Soiled shuttlecock.
What is a shuttlecock?
It's the thing you play with in badminton.
Yeah, badminton. Soiled.
Dirty birdie.
Wow.
Oh, got it.
Ah! Wow.
Yes!
That was really good.
Nice!
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Nice!
Swag, swag,
woo!
Swag.
Kylie.
White person, mule.
Mule?
Honky donkey.
Honky donkey.
I got it. I got it. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah.
Sweat.
Woo.
Sweat. Cook.
Woo.
Sweat.
Richard.
Yo, what's up? Mike, Drew, great show tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kate, what's going on?
Yo, yo, yo.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right, let me bring for the awesome train. All right, check it out. Physician, lawyer.
Physician, lawyer?
Yeah.
This is really good. This has got us very cautious.
Doctor Proctor? Skinny.
No, no. We wouldn't say Proctor. Lawyer is a...
Esquire.
An Esquire. A representative.
What's the word? What does it say in Spanish?
Attorney.
Abogado.
Yeah. Woo, this is good.
Counsel.
MD.
Counsel. That's a
counselor.
Counselor.
Ooh.
Counselor, counselor.
Physician.
Physician, doctor. A quack.
No, no, how dare you.
Whoops.
Is it Drew Jew?
Oh, no.
Oh,
stop.
Oh,
wait.
Stop.
Oh,
see?
Anderson.
Because Drew's a doctor.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, what is it, Richard?
It's Dr. Proctor.
Oh, you said Dr. Proctor.
I said that.
Well, he didn't say no. He didn't say no. We said no.
I want you dead. Everyone dead. Because if he would have let us know, we would have all three got one.
The train stops
that quick.
It would
have been a perfect.
It would have
been a perfect set. It was a good
rolling
round.
Rolling down the train tracks, having a blast.
I don't know what angers me more, a good stinky pinky that no one lets me know I got,
yep.
Or a horrible stinky pinky.
We were rocking, though.
Yeah, we were doing good.
We go back for a second.
Very good train ride.
The word shuttlecock, and can we all agree that's probably the greatest word?
It really is one of the best.
I didn't really realize. I always thought it was a birdie. So
I couldn't I couldn't stop saying shuttlecock 1 week.
People start.
That's all I could say.
People call it birdie, so they don't have to say the word shuttlecock.
I see.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I mean, I think I prefer to just roll with shuttlecock.
SC.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. My question is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
It's just out of curiosity. I wanted to know why you go by your first name instead of your last name.
Because way back in 1983, when I first started doing this, I didn't want anybody to... I think I was a medical student then, and when I was a resident, I didn't really want people aware that I was doing it. I just wanted to do this community service thing quietly on the sly. And the main thing was I didn't want people to be thinking that I was self-promoting, like I was trying to get patients or something by talking on the radio. So no one knew I did it.
It's a disconnect.
It was all very quiet and very, which is this little community service thing I thought I was doing on Sunday nights back in 1984. And I finished medical school and did residency and kept doing it. And I just didn't want people to really know I was doing it.
Well, it has a great ring to it.
And by the way, back then, too, it was edgy.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And it was sort of, I didn't want to be judged for it particularly because I really thought it was the right thing to do. And I didn't want to get into you know, should or is it a good or a bad idea? I thought it was a good idea because that was in the day of AIDS coming on. And I just thought there needed to be something like this. So I didn't want to get into the controversy about it. I just wanted to just do it.
But it gave you also a separate, something separate to focus on that wasn't exactly the being at the hospital.
Oh, it was fun because it was a great way to apply my craft and make a difference and meet interesting people. Because I was living in the hospital all the time.
I'd
come out on Sunday nights and meet interesting people and talk on the radio and do something I thought was really, really important back then.
But Dr. Drew's a great name.
It had a nice ring to it. It had a nice ring to it, but I really was trying to. I had this
rolls
feeling.
Rolls off the tongue.
Back then, when physicians went on the radio, it was sort of considered self promotion.
Right.
And I didn't want to be accused of that. I don't want to be accused of that.
Ethics.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's the ethics. So, yes,
good question.
1-800-LOVE-191, AndrewWK.com, the official website of our guest, Andrew WK. David, hello. David.
Come on. So I didn't talk to Sven.
Let David talk to David. David wasn't there. David never went.
No, nowhere.
David.
1993.
Come on.
I'm at the disco. I have the flannel.
David.
I roll inside my Camaro and I
David,
get
are you
out.
There?
I eat the ecstasy.
David.
I wash it down with GHB and
David.
Then I grind my penis inside of the women
David.
On the dance floor.
David.
They don't
David.
Seem to like me, so I give them
David.
Roofie.
David.
I tell them
David.
That they're drinking.
David.
A margarita,
David,
but it's Long Island, and then they're sleepy. We go back to my apartment that I share with my cousin who smells like cheddar, but I don't like to reference it because maybe they think that I'm the one who stinks, but it's my cousin. He doesn't wash his balls, but then I blow my load on top of them and I have a sandwich made of Velveeta. It's just Velveeta. I don't have money to buy vegetables
Velveeta.
Are good, deli meat just Velveeta. And then 2000
Velveeta.
Comes around, I buy Andrew WK's album and I party hard, I eat the ecstasy. That's right, the ecstasy. All the girls in the club pay attention to me because
wow.
inside my leather pants I have a lot of pills and I give them out so people will like me because I have no personality.
I just
have ecstasy
never
and
heard
I have
anyone
GHB.
Sing this way before.
I have some special K on special occasion.
I
dip my penis into it and
love
it gets numb
Dr.
and
Drew,
I could bang all night
dot,
long
dot,
even
dot,
though
Dr.
I have
Drew
made many loads inside my pants because I'm not
WK
a good
on
lover but horse tranquilizer on tip of penis is always very good for having sex with the ladies, especially in Germany, where they expect more out of a man inside the bedroom. And when it comes to Olympic lifting, I'm not very good either because I have man boobs on top of my pot belly. But I use some eyeshadow to make it seem like I have ripped abs like David Hasselhoff. It is peak. He is my idol. And then I eat more ecstasy and fall asleep somehow. It is a stimulant, but I somehow can sleep. I drink the Coca-Cola, and then I eat the GHB, and then I have some heroin to get.
Uh-oh. Sven, dude! See you, buddy. Oh my God, Sven got into heroin too. I didn't know the ecstasy was. I thought he was just an abuser.
If we let him go long enough, we'll find out horrible things about him.
Oh my God.
He doesn't stop.
He dips his penis in Special K.
In horse tranquilizers.
Ketamine or whatever.
He puts the tip of his penis in ketamine.
Yeah.
And grinds it and then.
Then he puts it inside women on the disco floor.
When he has sex with them. And then even though he's not a very good lover, he could last all night because his penis is numb from the horse tranquilizer.
Okay, well, that
Holy
makes sense.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, my.
That all makes sense.
Holy mackerel.
Why are you on
man?
Juliana Huff's Twitter page?
Dr. Drew, I'm going to kick your ass.
So you don't want him to say what he's looking at.
Sven must have been looking at it because Sven was over there. You could have just told him it was him.
No, Topher, bring Rudy. Sven have snuts at all. Ah, boobs. Too many toothpicks. Ah, Wapner.
1-800-LOVE-191. Tourette's Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. Andrew WK is in the house tonight. We're having a grand old time. Destroy, Build, Destroy is coming back for its third season. Everybody must tune in.
This is party.
So since Mike and I went from father and son to brother, it was better?
Now it's more of a party.
Dakota.
By the way, progression of Sven right there. He started in the 90s where he was broke.
Yes.
Living with his cousin. He was only eating Velveeta.
I know. No Nutella.
No hazelnut spread.
Yeah.
Good value with Velveeta.
He had a Camaro.
Though.
He had a Camaro instead of the Maserati.
Wow.
Did you notice that?
I did notice. I thought he was saying
that. There's a freaking arc there.
Money's coming in. That's a good.
Woo!
Time.
Dakota.
Hey, whenever I masturbate and I finally get to where I'm going to come, I actually have to, like, force it out instead of it just coming out naturally.
You are a white man, aren't you, Dakota?
Yes, I am.
You're the whitest person ever. No ethnicity would ever be named Dakota.
What do you mean push it out?
Like the feeling of having to pee? Like if you try to push out the last bit of your pee when you're going to the bathroom?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Are you on medication?
No, I'm not.
It sounds like some kind of constriction.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, yes.
You shouldn't have to force it out, especially at 16.
Well, it sounds kind of fun, though.
I don't even know how you could force it out. That's
I'd like the idea that you could, because then you could take control over what is otherwise this uncontrollable phenomenon. Well, how long has this been going on?
For about maybe a year now.
So there's been plenty of times before that where you didn't have to force it.
Yeah.
And what happens if you don't force it? Nothing comes out?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you masturbate excessively?
Not really. Like 2 times a week usually. Mm.
Force it out.
Is it fun? Does it hurt?
No, not doesn't hurt at all.
How long are you going at it before you have to force?
It varies sometimes. Sometimes it takes me like 2 minutes, sometimes it takes me 5.
I'm a little confused. I mean, you have an orgasm, but the fluid doesn't go in the right direction. Is that closer to the truth?
Yeah.
Okay. That's sort of retrograde ejaculation. You ought to talk to your doctor about that. Okay.
There's something keeping it. But you're able to pee.
No, it's ejaculate can go back up towards the bladder.
It even gets into the penis.
Yeah, the valve doesn't quite fully open. Psycho Mike, interestingly, had that traumatic experience.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for him to talk about.
Pipes got crossed.
It was the word. Listen.
It was the work of the devil.
That can be fun sometimes.
I have pulled blood-covered crack pipes from my mouth, and yet retrograde ejaculation, hands down, the worst thing that's ever happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you could feel it going back up inside.
No, you blow a normal load, but nothing comes out. And then you just go through it's like you're in the Twilight Zone or something. Or like, then I started to believe like I missed it.
It was invisible. It could have been invisible.
Yeah, like I had Houdini jizz.
I've never even imagined having to force. There could be a good movie role for you in an adult film, though, if you could learn to control that.
I'd just be like, hey, everybody, I just came Casper. Oh, man.
Wow.
Carlian?
Yes, hello?
Is your name really Carlian?
Well, Carlan, without the I. All right. Wrong.
Carlan.
Carlan.
That's cool.
How long have you visited this planet?
Also, I've been in this planet.
Carlan. So what's up?
10 years of my life.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm just wondering, I don't get really romantically attached to men. I get, like, close to them emotionally. Like, I could become really, like, close friends with them, but never, like, romantically.
Are you gay?
Like, I've had boyfriends, but I never get attached. And I can't orgasm. Like, I've never had one, and I just, like, want to know what's wrong with me.
Do you think you're gay?
No. I know that I'm attracted to men, but I just don't.
How do you know you're attracted to men? Like, really?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, well...
Because I think you would have these feelings you're describing not being there if you would be attracted. What I would think of it being attracted to someone, you can't avoid these feelings of attachment and magnetism.
Well, unless you had horrible trauma growing up. Do you come from a difficult family? Well,
there you go.
Yeah, well, I grew up in foster homes.
All right, well, that's impossible to attach to anybody.
And wouldn't that be the first thing that you would think?
Why didn't you tell us that?
Yeah, why wouldn't you tell us that?
It's Love Line. Our callers never tell.
It is more exciting, I guess, to hear that later for the listener.
Yeah, the
sense of discovery.
The labyrinth of questions that we have to go through to get to the heart of the situation.
Right.
Carlin, you got to work on that. You get some therapy. It's going to be very difficult for you to have stable relationships or any sort of intimacy, given all that horrible abandonment growing up. It's really tough. It's really tough.
But you can do it.
Yes, you can. So, but you have to. You have to go out there and do some work.
Have you ever gone to counseling? Have you ever done counseling?
When I was like really young, I had anger management, and I went for that.
Well, now it's time to get going for real. because you want it.
Yeah. Do it. It'll be fun.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Hey, much love to our listeners in Canada. We have a lot of support up north, and I just want to give a shout-out to our Canadian listeners. I can see you on the Facebook showing your love. And by the way, Canadian listeners, Andrew WK, our guest, will be up in Canada. He'll be in Toronto May 26th. He'll be in Edmonton May 27th, and then in Calgary, Alberta, May 29th. So there
that
you
is
go.
True. And thank you for bringing that up, because I also am a huge fan of Canada. And growing up in Michigan, that was the most exotic place to visit that you could drive to within really 2 hours. Windsor.
Buds in North Michigan and Buffalo, places like that. Like, Canada is, it's like the land of enchantment.
Yeah. It is amazing. And people have, like, cabins in Canada.
It's beautiful.
Stuff. Yeah.
The vibe, cottages. Though, it's like the entire,
cottages, yeah.
The entire country is like the Midwest. The entire country feels like Michigan, except maybe.
Because they're so nice?
Yeah, it's just nice. It's cozy. They like wood. You know, there's a lot of snow. Nardwar the Human Serviette. And that reminds me, by the way, thank you for bringing up Nardwar the Human Serviette from British Columbia,
human
Canada.
Human Serviette?
He's the Human Serviette.
Serviette's like a napkin.
Yeah, exactly.
He's and the he's human
self-proclaimed.
Napkin?
He's self-proclaimed human napkin. I look him up. NARDWUAR.com. Nardwar, one of my best friends.
Nardwar, everybody.
Andrew and I were talking.
Is he
about
like a whale with a pointy nose?
No way.
Let's say Nardwar.
After check out Nardwar, check out Andrew WK.
I just found out about this guy a couple weeks ago, and I was in love with him. So I asked Andrew WK if he knew him. He's like, "Oh my God, it's one of my best friends." Nardwar is awesome.
One of the greatest interviewers, and I'd say just entertainers in the world. Look him up, Nardwar.
Nardwar, everybody. One of the greatest entertainers in the world is right in our studios right now. He's in the Trojan Studios. He is Andrew WK. That's right. Give us a call. 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Loveline.
Loveline. Loveline.
Heard his voice. He's the host, Dr. Drew. Come on out here, Dr. Drew Kingston.
With Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike.
It's psychotic.
Everybody, you're goddamn right, it's Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call us up here in the Trojan Studios. Andrew WK is our guest. Oh, yeah.
You can say GD. You can say goddamn.
I just did, brother.
Now, why is that okay? Has that always been okay?
Because George Carlin had invented the seven words that you can't say as part of one of his acts. He ended up testifying at Congress, and they adopted only those seven words.
So he helped everybody.
As offensive. Not really.
Oh.
Because they're ridiculous.
Well, yeah, of course. No, but at least there's some that weren't in the list. Maybe he strategically left them out, thinking, well, at least we'll get away with these ones.
And he put, like, the other word for breasts in the list. Because it specifically put something in there that he felt didn't belong in the list, if you remember the routine.
Yeah, yeah. That one's the one that's especially silly.
Yeah. We can't say that one.
Wow. And that's a great word, too.
You sure? Heidi.
Hey, guys.
What up, baby?
How you doing?
Hello.
First of all, I just want to get something out of my system before I ask my question. I just want to say, oh, my God, I love Andrew WK. I love you. Why are you such a babe? Why?
Wow. I thought you were to say something about Dr. Drew. That's usually the case when women call in here.
That's right. He's beautiful.
I'm shocked and delighted. Thank you very much. And you have a beautiful voice.
She does.
You're a beautiful man.
You made my night. Thank you.
Okay, good thing I got that out of my system. Now my question. I have a friend who's addicted to E, and she's been having really severe back problems lately. Like, she's always been in really good health, and lately I know she's been doing E a lot. She does it, like, every weekend. She's been doing it for, like, the past 2 years every weekend.
Dancing for 12 hours straight kind of hurts your back.
Can you be addicted to something and only do it on the weekend?
It's more like severe abuse. And ecstasy addiction is pretty rare. I've only seen it a couple times because it beats the crap out of you badly.
It's very hard to get up the next day and do it
exactly.
Again.
And there are certain drugs that actually cause back pain. E is one of them.
Because it affects your nervous system.
It affects the pain-receiving system. Opiates cause back pain, and then people get put on opiates, which only worsens the back pain.
Of course, vicious cycle.
And then E causes back pain. And then
acid used to hurt my back. Acid used to kill my spine.
That's interesting. I've never really heard that, but E frequently hurt back pain.
That's how you can tell it's working, right?
And then
in your lower back.
And then
my back would kill me.
And then Heidi, your friend, will get put on opiates, and her back pain will get worse. And then she'll get an operation, and then that'll be a mess, and she'll still be on opiates. It's just, this is a horrible road she's on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned that the fact is that I only know that she's doing it on the weekends, but she's probably doing it during the week, too.
Probably not that much, though. Probably not that much. It really is difficult to do ecstasy every day. It's very, and by when they do, they get very disorganized and very paranoid.
So she works at a job during the week?
Yeah, she does.
Okay. It seems like, do you think she would be capable of taking it during work?
I don't think she would be that stupid. But, I mean, at this point, I don't really know.
But being an addict has nothing to do with being stupid or smart. But the fact is, if you start seeing her get paranoid, you can bet that she's doing more of it.
Mm. Are there other drugs that someone that would be into ecstasy would get into as a way to get addicted, to a way to do it every day?
Do they tolerate the ecstasy? Mike, do you know that?
Is there a tolerance? Yeah, I mean,
No. Is there another drug you use along with ecstasy to be able to, you can deal with the ecstasy?
Or that people get into that are into ecstasy?
I mean, I definitely used to take, like, bless you.
The only time ketamine and GHB.
The only time I would ever mess around with, like, kind of mood-altering antidepressants was when I take ecstasy sometimes.
Well, people would go, oh, it protects your brain against the damaging effects.
Not for that reason, but like...
But that's what people say.
Like, I'd grind my teeth and get jittery, and I'd forget that feeling, and I'd eat, like, Valium or, like...
Well, that's not antidepressant. That's benzo.
Like, or Valium or even, like Xanax or something.
That would All right, so benzodiazepines, maybe they're using, which is very addictive. So,
but either way, she shouldn't be doing it every weekend if she wants to avoid this back pain. It seems pretty simple, right?
Heidi, she's in trouble. Help her.
Yeah, I know. No, I've been really trying to help her. I mean, I know that you can also get, like, TMJ, and, like, it really, like, messes up your brain and stuff like that.
Yep.
And the thing with the serotonin, I mean, I've been trying to tell her all this stuff, but it's just really, really hard to convince her.
Yep.
So I'm trying to, like, you know, kind of rub her face in it now.
No. Heidi, if it were as simple as, you know, if I treated my ecstasy addicts by deploying their friends and making them be angry and hostile with them, my job would be very, very easy. You need to get her to professional help. She needs help. Maybe even just start focusing on how miserable she is and what she could do to feel happier and have better relationships. Maybe she want to talk to somebody.
Are you going
to
tell her that you called into Dr. Drew?
No, I'm not.
To Loveline, and I mean that.
And you, but that she talked to Andrew WK. Bye, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi.
Mindy.
She was nice.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi, guys. I wanted to ask you. Basically the short version is, I wanted to know if you think I should get back together with my ex, who I live with, and. I don't really know what to do about it.
Let me just say, judging by how depressed you sound, I'm not sure there's a possibility of getting back together.
That's a very good observation.
What did she do, or what is she saying?
I actually broke up with her.
But why?
Because I have a really hard time being emotionally attached to people once the newness of it all wears off.
Well, why don't you get your depression dealt with? Maybe that'll help.
Well, I take 100 milligrams of Zoloft every day, but it only helps a little. Really.
I mean, get that. And by the way, that makes it hard to function sexually on that Zoloft. Go ahead.
I go to therapy, too. I mean, I've missed the past couple of weeks because I'm having car issues, but sorry, I'm really nervous, too. So,
it's all good. It's all good, Mindy. I mean, listen. You broke up because you can't handle closeness. Well, that's not a good reason to break up. We would say go back in. But you're in therapy. You're on meds. You know, get the meds adjusted properly because they're clearly not all the way working.
Yeah.
You know, and about 50% of depression patients never get fully or adequately treated. So it's something to keep in mind. You got to go back. Got to go back until you get adequate response.
Yeah.
And then in the therapy, you should be working out whether you should be going back with her or not. But it sounds like you should at least try to hang in with a relationship and try for some genuine intimacy.
You miss her?
I love her to death, but the problem is that, like, my idea of love is not what most people's idea is. So it makes it really difficult to be in a relationship when I don't really...
You didn't want the same thing.
I'm bipolar, so, I mean, like, I just... It's really hard for her to deal with
my ups and downs, and just because I'm like a completely different person sometimes, and I sure. don't mean to do it, and it's like I watch myself from an outside perspective, but I cannot stop myself from doing it.
Yeah, yeah, I can understand in a low level, just mood swings. Anybody's gonna have a hard time dealing with that. But if she can't understand, did she understand your condition though? She realized it wasn't just that you were in a bad mood.
Yeah, and see, the real situation is that I live here with her. I moved here to be with her because I was with her at the time, which was like last January. But we broke up since then, obviously, and I still live with her, and she is literally the only person that I know here. I don't have family here. I haven't had a job in over a year because I have so many anxiety issues and just like...
So you're really isolated now at this point. And how can you still be living with her and not be in... I mean, that must be very hard. You see her every day?
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy to me.
I sleep next to her every night.
Get back together. Don't be silly. That's retarded.
Yeah, you haven't even really broken up.
It's really hard because, like, I can't... She's somebody who wants to, you know, settle down and be married and stuff. And it's not so much as that I want to go running around and acting like a retard, but I can't handle being so confined. I don't want there
well,
to
it sounds
be a
like it's
it.
Also
I just want it to be.
Doesn't sound like your lifestyle, just the fact that you're living in this town where you don't know anybody, you're not working, you're not getting out of the house, you're completely reliant on this person for your entertainment, for your friendship. Don't you think that that's part of the issue rather than the relationship itself? It's more like it's just your life. Getting out there and doing anything might just crack open the sky a little bit and let some sun in.
Well, I worry because another reason why I broke up with her is because, to be honest, if I had somewhere else to live, I didn't have to live with her, I would still most definitely be very good friends with her, but I would never want to be with her again because
and Mindy, you need to find a place to live.
There you go.
And it's got to be over. If you know in your heart that you can't date this person because for being with her, if your motivation to be with her is not... wanting to be around her,
and
then
by the way,
that's a bad sign.
I'm getting depressed thinking about sleeping next to somebody I don't want to be with.
That's insane.
In a town where I don't want to be in. I'm depressed.
Yeah, but then think
about Zoloft's going to take care of that.
Yeah, but then think about them eating each other's boxes. It's pretty sweet.
Stop.
Yeah. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Andrew WK is in the house.
Tyler, stop smiling. You're encouraging him.
AndrewWK.com, the official website. You know what you're listening to. B.I. Shit's Love Line.
Love Line. Don't wait. Call today.
Yeah.
The thing is, by the way, Andrew WK is in the house tonight. AndrewWK.com. Find out about season 3 of Destroy, Build, Destroy coming up.
We're talking about Mike being able to ask a girl out.
Yes, he
can't do it. And I told him he's got to be autonomous. And I think that's why I'm always trying to set him up with somebody because it's like he's not self-starting and it's like disturbing me.
Have you ever asked on a stranger, Dr. Drew?
Yes, my wife.
You met her as a stranger?
Absolutely.
No common friends, no nothing?
Never. I could never go up to somebody as a complete stranger.
That's what I'm saying.
No way. No way.
I had it happen once where a girl came to me, and it was very intense, and I didn't realize how freaky it is when you truly have no sense
of who that
person
is. Yeah. So, Mike, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, talking to a girl, whether you're like a ladies' man or not, just in general, just like the idea of talking to a girl in a romantic way, it's kind of like... kind of like skateboarding. It's not something you can just pick up at 30. You know, it really is. Like
Wait a minute. First of all, you already are talking to women, so that doesn't apply.
Not really, though. I mean, like most of the women that I talk to
are
either...
Are you trying to smooth talk?
No.
Is that what you're thinking?
No,
like,
no.
Well,
I don't
smooth talk. The only women I've ever had in my life are women that approached me and sealed the deal on their own.
And you said that's already off the air that you didn't necessarily get turned on by that specifically.
No, I don't get turned on. Because Drew asked if by them consuming me, essentially, does that turn me on? I was like, no, it didn't turn me on at all. It's just the only way I can get pussy.
Wait, that word is okay to say?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not one of the seven.
Is it okay to say in a song that you play on the radio?
Say what?
To say the word in a
pussy?
Song?
Yeah, but you can't say you're going to do something to a pussy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, you say the word, but you can't say, like, I'm going to do...
That really does make it so much more absurd on top
Wait,
of
Wait, Andrew, you think that you can say the word pussy, but you're not allowed to sing the word pussy?
I don't know, because it seems like there's all these hang-ups, like, if it's in a song, well, then it's this, or I don't
know. Well, you know what? It's funny. Well, that's a good question, because I don't
Context.
Think... Context. On the flagship station, for instance, I don't think I could go around just saying the P word like that at noon.
Well, there you go. It's
oh
also
my God.
The hour.
Yeah. I hear the awesome train.
Awesome train's coming.
I hear it. I hear it.
Is there a whistle?
I need you to help sing along.
Oh.
Just like
coming
time.
Around the moment when she comes. Oh.
It's oh. time to play Take hey. A Pinky. Oh. It's a working call, Take
hey.
A Pinky.
Psycho Mike now.
Everybody in the
world,
they call yep. Take a Pinky.
Now.
It's time to play hey. Take hey. A Pinky. It's hey. A working
Hit
call,
back.
Take
now.
A Pinky. Everybody
Come
in the
again.
World, they
Come again.
Pinky.
Bring it back the other way. Mike.
Hey,
Psycho.
Eric.
Stipe.
Yes.
Yeah, Eric.
Yes, cheese conifer.
What's a conifer?
What? A tree.
Tree. Okay. Cheese. Yeah.
Brie tree.
Yep.
Oh! Yes! Nice!
Oh,
Mariah!
Oh, I'm very proud of myself.
Me and Mariah go together like babies and pacifiers.
Go.
Go, balanced, woman!
Balanced filth.
Balanced filth.
Balanced filth.
Filth. Dirt. Dirt.
Sturdy dirty.
Oh!
Oh, wow. I'm having sex with a microphone!
Coming up.
Oh, my God. All right, good, Brian. Thank you.
Okay.
Mary.
Okay.
14 now.
Finger.
Unfeeling.
Numb thumb.
Oh!
I dangled the phone to the 14-year-old before I had sex with a microphone.
Sweat. 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 Sweat.
Oh my God!
Woo! Wow!
Good sesh, guys.
On fire.
Sesh.
We redeemed ourselves from
We did,
guys.
Yeah, yeah. The calls were good. We were good.
Ended on a high note.
Mike, did you really?
So satisfying.
You said you had to hang up on the 14-year-old before you humped the microphone.
No, that's good.
Way to keep it legal, but.
And by the way, is this going to show up on Loveline Show? Okay, if you want to see what Mike actually did with the microphone, it will be on Loveline Show. Yeah?
That's true. Yeah, it will be on the video.
God help us all.
Yeah, for better or worse, it will be on the video soon. Wow,
Jason.
Hey, Jason, what's up?
Oh, hey, I have a question about the stuff that I smoked like two nights ago. It's called Spice.
Oh, yes.
It's a channel for porn, for, you know,
but it also,
mid-grade porn.
It's also
this,
illegal.
This cannabinoid. Yeah.
K1, right? They
right.
Call it, yeah.
What'd you say?
They call it K1.
K2.
It's K2, sorry.
K2.
I don't know what I got. They just called it Spice.
It's a cannabinoid. It's a substance often called Spice, Genie, or Zohai. It's sprayed with a synthetic compound chemically similar to THC, mostly made in China. It's smoked in joints or pipes, just like the real deal.
Don't know yet what the implications of this drug is going to be.
I will say this, Jason.
Uh-huh.
The inventor of it, the actual chemical compounds who invented it, and he did it by accident. He was trying to study the effects of cannabinoids on the brain at Clemson University. He says, people who smoke this are absolute idiots. I'm looking at a quote right
now.
Wow. So,
what is it, the inventor himself.
Yeah.
So he must not be making any money then for the sale.
No.
He wouldn't be saying that.
No, he's saying that this is dangerous. We don't know the full effects.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, I will say this is, again, this is legal or something that you can get at least in New York. And my friend had some, and I tried it, and it was a very, very, very strange feeling. It wasn't necessarily pleasant. It reminded me a bit of, if you've ever woken up and there's just that a morning, not like you did anything intense, you might have gotten plenty of sleep, you just feel cloudy. It's not a euphoric kind of cloudiness. You just can't keep trying to wake up. You keep trying to wake up. That
are,
was
you, are you a big caffeine dude?
No.
You're not?
I don't like that feeling either. I don't like being jittery.
Because I was just saying, like, it sounds to me like when I wake up every single morning before I have caffeine.
Well, that might be, actually, yeah.
Because I am a big caffeine guy, and it's like, if I don't have, like, I can't, I know I'm awake, and I know what I should do with the world, but I can't really seem to be able to do it.
Everything seems like it's at a distance behind a gauze sheet or something.
Sarah.
Yes.
What's up, baby?
Hey, I just have a quick question about my new relationship. I've been seeing this new guy for like 2 months, and I like to have sex with him more than he likes to have sex with me. Like,
yes.
I stay the night twice a week at his house, and that's like the only time we ever do it.
All right. It's a tough one.
Meaning he never has instigated any of the intimacy you've had?
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Here's someone who can solve the problem.
Oh, wait a minute. Now,
listen, watch. Here he comes.
Oh, look through the roof.
Oh, wow.
What's up, Andrew WK?
Oh, hi.
Rat-a-tat-tat, I'm Spencer Pratt. I love every woman unless she's fat. Sick.
Wow.
Neckbeard technique. Yeah, millionaire. I'm a millionaire, Dr. Drew. I drink dollar bills and I pee nickels.
It's a change machine.
That must hurt.
Yeah.
That's right. I got a penis casino right here, kid.
He came,
check
he has a helicopter.
Custom made by Ed Hardy.
Yeah, he flew right in. This is insane.
I got Prada balls, Sarah. Hey, so Sarah, I heard you in my platinum-covered helicopter, Spencedog 1.
Swag.
I heard you talking about your problems with your man. I have some questions, and I may be able to help you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Wow. How much do you weigh?
140.
Oh, now I know exactly why he doesn't want to have sex with you. He doesn't want to be crushed by your portly, oh, disgusting.
Whoa.
I'm 5'10.
Disgusting.
Whoa. Hey, now.
Hold on.
Jeez.
She's corpulent.
Spencer.
She's portly.
He's so.
She's pudgy.
Jeez.
She's rotund.
This is very harsh.
She's robust. And she is. Disgusting.
Get Psycho Mike back in here to kick this guy's butt.
Oh,
Sarah.
Careful, this guy's volatile. No,
maybe,
you can't. This guy's just volatile.
Maybe.
Oh.
I'll have you know, Andrew WK. I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I invented Muay Thai. I was in the French Foreign Legion. I have four medals of honor from World War I.
No, I
understand. I was.
I apologize.
I wrote the Treaty of Ghent.
I spoke out of line. I apologize. I'm just saying, you know, this sounds like a perfectly nice young woman. And who's to say? Maybe it has nothing to do with her looks. But that's
Sarah?
All.
I wanted to say I've never had this problem before. With
are
my
you
husband.
Are you white?
I am.
Okay, good, good. Okay.
Oh, please.
Because there's.
I think I hear the helicopter coming.
Yeah.
I do. I think I hear
the police helicopter.
Let me take out my diamond-colored BlackBerry. Oh, look there. Clune Dog has texted me. Hey, Clooney, how are you? I'll see you in Lake Como very soon. Spence Dog One cometh.
Wow, there you go. Oh, they're loading on a. Is that a platinum ladder?
No, it's a diamond covered.
A diamond covered.
It's rhinestones,
covered.
Custom made by the Affliction.
Swarovski.
Oh, Mike, I'm never so happy to see you. Oh, my
wow.
God.
I'm glad
God,
that.
I
yeah,
hate him.
That guy was a real creep.
God, I hate him.
What a lowlife.
Sarah, you're beautiful and you're thin, and I don't even need to see a picture of you. Don't let that guy, what that
now,
guy says,
now, something's wrong with the boyfriend. Is he smoking a lot of pot, or is he on drugs?
He
or
does.
Yeah. Something is blocking his sex drive, because that is not normal for
him. Is he smoking a lot of weed?
He does, yeah.
How much?
A lot.
And he gets migraines.
That means he's taking opiates.
What's that?
His
he has been taking Percocet.
Oh. Okay, his migraines are actually
occasionally.
His migraines are actually opiate withdrawal.
Listen, Sarah, a very easy
call
solution.
Every time, Dr.
He
Drew.
Eats Percocet. He smokes too much weed. I mean, like, really, that's the bottom line.
That's a guy that doesn't want to have sex.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Andrew WK is in the house. You know what you're listening to, everybody. It is Loveline.
Loveline is coming back.
All I care about is the sex.
WK is our guest tonight.
Here
on
we are
Loveline. We're in the Trojan Studios.
Dr. Drew,
I have to fart so bad. Dr.
Please
Drew.
Please hold it.
Please
in.
Do.
Ryan?
Oh,
hello.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I'm on the air right now.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Psycho Mike, I can't remember the last time I've laughed as hard as I just did with Sven.
That was a good session.
Good Sven. That was a good session.
He is funny. That's one thing you can say about him.
He is.
That was genius.
Thank you, brother.
Dr. Drew, you are the man. Words can't even describe. Andrew WK, let's get a party started.
Thank you. Yeah.
Get a party going.
Well said. Well said.
I have a story about the Spice call that you guys just got.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do not recommend it to anybody. It is the worst stuff I've ever experienced. I've experienced pretty much everything except meth and heroin.
So
and
what happened? What did it feel like?
Well, I was at a buddy's house where we jammed, and we're hanging out in the garage, and he packs a bowl of this spice, and he puts this, it's the equivalent, he said, of like hash is.
Hash, okay, right.
Spice, it's called JWH, they call it J-Dub or something, JWH, and so it's like a white powdery substance, and he packed that on top of it, and
it was a double dose, of two different things, you're saying.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and it was, I smoked it like it was like a regular bowl of herb, you know, and I went to straight galaxy mode, like, zoom, like.
Galaxy?
Oh my God, I couldn't see anything, like, my heart started pounding, like, I was having a heart attack, like,
it was a feeling of panic.
Did I tell my mom I love her today, you know, like, you know, are you guys gonna have to call the ambulance, like, oh my God.
A bad trip.
And yeah, so I couldn't speak to anybody, I couldn't function, I somehow managed to, like, get from a sitting position to standing. I like stumbled outside, got to the ground, I got to my knees, and I was just, you know, like, just breathe, like, you know, just tell myself, keep breathing.
How long did it last for?
It had me on my knees literally for an hour.
Wow.
There, an hour, I was stuck on my hands and my knees. And the moment I tried to go from that to a sitting position, I threw up.
Oh, wow. Okay. I see on the case.
Yeah, it was, and then after that, like, I kind of snapped out of it and I felt a little better. I hung out for like 45 minutes.
It sounds like a lot of physical discomfort, but was there any emotional or psychic? You said you couldn't see. You said you went to the galaxy. Was there any kind of revelatory sense or any kind of mental high to it? Or was it just this awful feeling?
Well, every time I closed my eyes, it was almost like, I don't know how to describe it. It was almost like a mini shroom trip to an extent. Like,
okay.
It was, I was seeing like blocky, you know, like almost blocks kind of like transforming in,
yes,
like 3D almost.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
It was like a show, but I was scared for my life, you know. I was like,
Don't do this. Listen, if there's anything we can learn from Ryan. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, everything you describe doesn't sound necessarily to me like that bad of a time.
Yeah, but his body was reacting horribly.
But his body reacted badly. So that's what I was asking. If there was any kind of value, you know, you can put yourself through all kinds of things if there's some kind of mental payoff.
Okay. Hey, Damien.
Sorry.
Yes.
What up?
Hey, I just had a question. I've been with this with my girlfriend for about a year and a half now. I just recently, about a month and a half ago, caught a few distribution felonies. When I first got with her, I was making a lot of money, and we were both doing a lot of opiates. We were both into heroin and stuff, and basically, you know, she was able to get whatever she wanted, you know, when she wanted. And now that I'm not doing that no more, and I'm just working at a regular job, and, you know, we're having a hard time living. It seems like we're fighting a lot more.
Are you still on opiates?
I am because I have chronic pain.
Are you still on opiates, and is she still on opiates?
She's actually in the process of quitting because she
can't
afford.
Look, if she's coming off opiates, of course she's irritable. And both of you are severe addicts, and neither of you are doing anything about your addiction. And so, yeah, of course. Now, listen, how much, when you say you're making a lot of money, you were dealing drugs?
Yes.
How much money were you making dealing drugs?
It was about close to $400,000 a year for a couple of years.
Oof, just dealing drugs. And then you got caught?
Yes.
And now you're just doing your regular person?
Right.
Wow,
my whole career I've done HVAC, and then I broke, you know, I tore my whole right knee apart, and I've had three surgeries on it. I still have three more surgeries to go when I get insurance. I'm in a pain clinic, so I'm going to be on pills, you know, for a long time.
This is not going to go well. It's not going to go well. Pills and surgeries are not going to be the solution for you. But yeah, I can't talk you out of that. At least your girlfriend or your wife, whatever, is dealing with her opiate addiction, and
yeah,
that's
going to... she's actually thinking about going to, because we don't have no insurance or no money right now, so she's actually thinking of going into the Red Cross, and it's just, the thing is, you know, we talk about it, and we talk about quitting all the time and every night, and she wants to. I know she really does, but...
Well, then she needs to go in and do it. She needs to go in and do it. There's no more talking. There's no more talking to be done. She needs to go do it.
Go do it.
Of course she's irritable. She's strung out. She's detoxing part of the time. Ugh, awful.
Anderson, I feel like now is a good time to break it down, because I feel like we got a lot of calls.
Do it.
Yes, we did.
A total of 4 calls.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I'd say we had our first 9-year-old. I can't remember talking to a 9-year-old.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That made my night. And then that very nice lady, Heidi.
That's right.
Some great callers.
23 calls total, 12 guys, 11 girls. Started off with the obligatory anal sex call.
Mm.
And then the poor girl that dates older guys. She had a terrible phone.
I can't hear the music.
Yeah, turn it up. It sounds bad.
Now it's on.
The guy that had sex and he immediately gets a puffy face. He proceeded to cuss twice,
yeah,
so we hung
face.
Up on him. Opiate addiction. A few calls about that, actually.
Yes.
Vibration pain. She bought a vibrator, and it warned her on the box that
calves.
It might give her pain.
For calves. Your calves.
Our deep vein thrombosis.
First and ever 9-year-old caller.
Yeah.
Right on the heels of us talking about the human centipede, which made it extra uncomfortable. And you guys said, oh, yeah. It's okay. Somebody was helping him make the call because they were on the phone. But whoever said, yeah, hold on, sounded younger than the 9-year-old.
That did occur
sounded
to me.
Sounded like
by
a 6-year-old.
Yeah, it did occur to me.
Bartholin's gland talk, which is always a turn off. Marine abuse, post traumatic stress abuse, perhaps.
Bad. Tough calls.
Orgasm call, likes to party. Likes to party.
That was a good one.
Doctor Who, somebody wanted to go into length about your name, Drew, and how you came up with it.
Yeah.
Force come to come out. I'm a 16-year-old. That's a problem. E addiction. Lesbionic themed call. Lesbians who depressed all of us. Spice call. I smoked some spice, and then the ex drug dealer used to make $400,000, and I got pain.
That's a lot of money. You've been dealing drugs.
Hey,
I got a very long good ending, so let's fail.
Tomorrow night, race car driver, AndrewWK.com, the official web. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thank you. Never heard anyone sing this way before.
I have some special occasion.
I get
my penis into it and
love
it gets numb. And I could bang all night long, even though I have made many loads inside my pants because I'm not a good lover.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Loveline is produced by Ann Engel, engineered by Anderson Cowan. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One.
End of message.
The end of a perfect evening.
Something tells me the show's over.
The end of a perfect evening.
I've always admired your show.
Have you ever considered hosting your own talk show?